All right then. Yes. Well, welcome to We Are ECC, our Vision Night and AGM. So we've got some stuff to get through tonight. There's a little bit in the middle which Keith doesn't like doing. We don't really bother about hearing about it all that much, but we have to. We are, as a trust, as a charitable trust, we have a bind that we have to present the accounts. So we always have to do that every year. So that, but you know, it's good to see what God's doing in that area as well, and see that, you know, last year we've really been spoken to about being a healthy house, and finances was one of those things. And it's good to see that, you know, relatively speaking, we are healthy in that department. You know, I am a trustee of the church, and just to say, don't feel bad when the graphs come up and Keith's talking if you don't understand, because I'm a trustee and I don't either. Okay, I just sit around the table. All I want to know is, have we got enough money? Yes, that's fine by me then. That's all I need to know. So, you know, if we're in a crisis, we'll let you know. But as far as I know, we're not. But yeah, tonight we're calling We Are ECC. We Are ECC, and just really focus on the fact that that is who we are. We are Elohim Christian Church. We're not Elevation Church. We're not Hillsong Church. We're not Bethel Church. We're not North Point Church or Lakewood Church or all these great churches that we look up to, and they are inspiring. These places and the people that lead those places can inspire us, but we are ECC. That is who God has called us to be. That is what he's asked us to be. If he wanted to plant an Elevation Church or a Hillsong Church in Barlston, then he would have done it. Who might do one day, but they're not going to need to while ever we're here, are they? So, but we are ECC, and that is a privilege to be able to say those words, that we are ECC. We are Elohim Christian Church. We are who God has called us to be. We are where God wants us to be, and we are doing what God wants us to do. And tonight, we want to look a little bit into, I don't want to spend too long in the rearview mirror, but just to take a little bit at where we've come over the last year or so. Then we're going to have the accounts bit, and then I'm going to bring some stuff about the way forward and just casting some vision for where we're going and what we're doing. But before we move on, what I want to do first is I just want to tidy up a little bit of language. You know, there's a lot of language around church and church circles and certain words we use for certain things, which in different places mean different things. And I just want to tidy up the language of ECC so that we know 100% this is what we mean, this is what we're going, this is what we're talking about, and this is what it actually means when we talk about it. And there's three words that I really want to clarify for us as a church, and that's call, purpose, and vision. Because some people might be thinking now, well, they're all the same thing. And they're not all the same thing. They're completely three different things, three different strands. They come together to make one thing, but they are different. So first of all, what I want to talk about is our call. I brought my thing off the office upstairs. Our call is basically, that's the big chunk of the stuff on this write-up. And our call is how God has called us to live as a people. How do we live as ECC? What should our culture be as a church? How should we live our life together? How should we live our life when we're out in the world? How has God called us as someone who is connected with ECC to live our life? How has God called you? You're here tonight, so I'm guessing that you're connected with ECC. You're a part of what happens here, and you feel that your heart is connected to this place. So therefore, there's a certain way that God calls us to live. I'm going to read this to us, and this is our call. We're called to live by faith, to honor God and others, to live generously and serve gladly. We are to be a bold, hard-working people who seek to do God's will. We are to live in one spirit, one body, one heart, and one vision, recognizing that this church is not being built by us, but by Jesus Christ, in line with his declaration, I will build my church. We are to be a people who live in the fullness of life and joy that comes through salvation, seeing the light of Jesus go out and shine in a dark world. We are called to be a prophetic church who speak God's word, who declare and protect the true word of God as written in the Holy Bible. We are to be a people who are faithful and committed to a life of prayer. We are to proclaim the good news of salvation that is available by repentance through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That sounds like a good way to live to me. Yeah. And I know that a lot of the time we probably don't feel like we match up to it, but you know, we do keep pressing on to that. So that's our call. That's how we're called to live. So Okay, our purpose, which is at the top, our purpose. That is the reason why we exist, our purpose, the reason why we're here, the reason why ECC is here, the reason why we gather. Our purpose is to make Jesus known. And you could add in brackets onto that one as well, and to bring people into a growing relationship with him, because that speaks about bringing people to him in salvation and continuing to bring people to him through discipleship as well. And that is our call and our mission and our purpose. We're called to live one way. We have a purpose to outwork something, and the purpose will never change. The purpose of the church just continues, because that purpose will continue until the day Jesus comes again. Because churches are always going to need to be making Jesus known. Churches are always going to be needing to go out and make disciples. Churches are always going to have to fulfill that purpose. And most churches you'll look at will have something of a similar ilk with regards to what they would call their purpose or their call for their church. And so that's call and purpose. So vision. So what is vision? So the vision is something that can be achieved in this lifetime. A vision is something that we can take a hold of and get to. So the purpose to make Jesus known just continues, doesn't it? It just keeps rolling, it just keeps rolling and rolling. So we're never going to achieve that, because we're constantly doing it. You could say, well, we've made Jesus known now. Well, there's still more people to make Jesus known to. Well, we've made it known to those people, but there's still more people to make Jesus known to. And as soon as there isn't, then it's end game. And here we go. Let's go and enjoy heaven for a little while, and it's only eternity, not long at all. You know, we have a call to do that, and we have a purpose to do that. But the vision is something that is constantly, we're achieving constantly. God speaks a vision. He says, right, this is the vision for you as a house now. This is what I want you to do. So this time last year, our vision from God was very clear. It's nice that you've got 60 new chairs, but your church will only be 60 people. You need to work towards a second service, so that you can expand the place that you have and make space for the people that haven't come yet. We are making room for the people that aren't here yet. And that was just about a year ago that God really started to speak about this. And this Sunday, we roll into fulfilling that vision. We're going to step out, and then we've got something else to move on to now. But the vision is constantly moving. The purpose is always the same. And I had a great explanation from somebody that helped me understand this a little bit more. And he said, if you're purpose is to catch a ferry from Dover to Calais, the vision of the coast of France is going to be changing the closer you get to it. But your purpose is still the same. Your purpose is to get to Calais, but the vision of the coast changes the closer you get. What needs to happen changes the closer you get. And anybody that's been on a ship or had the privilege of sailing a ship, you'll know that different things need to be done. It's not as simple as you set sail, you go across, and that's it. There's stuff that needs to be done in preparation for coming into dock, coming into board, and doing all of those things. So the vision is constantly something that God will speak. We fulfill that vision. God fulfills the vision. And then he says, okay, well done. Your purpose is still to make me known. So this is how you're going to do it now. Does that make sense? So just to tidy up the language, because I know that we sometimes say, well, it's our vision to do this, and it's our vision to do that, and our vision will be whatever we are currently running with. And so at the moment, our vision is to get Sunday evening up and running and move forward into what God has got for us in that next season. I'm going to share where God's taking us after that. But that's our vision. So well done on everybody that's got behind where we're going this Sunday, because, you know, a year ago, we were kind of, well, we're going to do this. It's still clicking in my head now. It's like, wow, on Sunday, I was looking at my watch thinking, and this time next week, I'll be having to get ready to go out again, and all these different mindset shifts. But I'm going to come to that as well. So does that make sense to everybody? Clear? Because that's the whole point. I just want to make it clear and help people use the right language. So, because the language that we use is really important, and it stops confusion. It stops people getting confused, particularly ourselves. Things can be really complicated, but we just want to simplify things. You know, Jesus did things really simply. He didn't complicate anything, and I love that about our faith, that it doesn't need to be complicated. Good evening. So looking back then, as I say, I don't want to spend too long in the rearview mirror. So this last year, we've seen a lot of shifts, a lot of changes, and a lot of those things have really come out of that simplify mode, really, of saying, okay, let's simplify stuff because we don't want to complicate things. We don't want to make what we have any more complicated than it needs to be. So at the beginning of last year, we started the gathering on once a month on a Sunday, and it's been great to see how each month the gathering has, from January through to this time last year, we've been gathering momentum. And it was great a couple of weeks ago at the gathering with the guys from KF here with us to just really see how where God has brought that and what he's done with that. And again, that's God saying, okay, this is what you're going to do. And I think, okay, well, yeah, we'll go ahead and do that then. And we've done it. We've been willing and obedient. And God's been able to do something amazing. And I know that those Saturday evenings, as we continue to do them, are going to keep building and building. And they have been really powerful, regardless of how many people have been here. There was one a couple of months ago where there wasn't that many of us here, but it felt like the room was full. And you just really felt the presence of heaven's armies in the room with you. It felt like you were in a crowd. And I think there was less than 10 of us here, and that's including the band. So God's really moving powerfully on those nights. So, you know, switch Ant and Dec off on a Saturday night and get yourself to the gathering because it's far more entertaining. And I know that might surprise some people, but it is amazing to be here for that. Next Steps was another one of those things that God had said, okay, if you're moving towards this vision of having this evening service, you've got to have something in place ready for those new people. And I just want to say thank you to those people who did come when we were getting that up and running, just to come and listen to what was being said and give some feedback on that as well and say, well, what about this? And perhaps that word's not right and all the different things that were really helpful. And I know for the last few months we've not had new people who've come to Next Steps. But the thing is, it's in place, it's in position, and it's ready for when God starts to send the harvest. It's there and it's ready. We want to have these things in place, ready, so that when people do come, we're not stuck like deers in the headlights thinking, okay, well, what do we do about new people? What do we do about this? Everything is going to be in place. God is mobilizing his people and he's positioning the things in the right way for us as a church. You could be getting excited about this, guys. I'm getting some nods of agreement, but I'm kind of excited up here. You know, if it's just me going for it, then so be it. And the midweek, we simplified the midweek at the beginning of this year where we just kind of, that basically came out of myself and Faye and Steve at a senior leadership meeting. We were just praying and saying, okay, what are we going to do at Alive and Band of Brothers this year? And it was kind of like, well, don't know. So then the next question is, well, does God want us to do this anymore? Or is he asking us to do something else? And we really felt that as we moved into this season of having this second service, that a Tuesday night would become the midweek every week, and that would give a freedom to do in those things, in those Tuesdays, whatever, like a vision night or an AGM, or perhaps at some point we can say this week's midweek is going to be just for the ladies, or this week's midweek is just going to be for the men. But we're not tied into that that model anymore of saying that that's what's happening, because God did some great stuff through last year with Band of Brothers and Alive and going through the resolution stuff. And it's sometimes you want to carry on doing stuff because it worked, and it's kind of like, okay, well, God's asking us to do something else now, so let's move into what God's got for us. So not to say that we're not going to still do men's and ladies things, we will, but we're just not going to be doing it in that same format as I've already seen. And the midweeks have been amazing as well. The midweeks have been very similar to a gathering, really, but every week. So those that come to the midweek have really been blessed by what God's been doing there. He's really been building a passion for him, a passion for prayer, a passion for worship, and that's been really good to see on a Tuesday night as well. So that's really cool. So all of you that are here, then you've proved that you can get in on a Tuesday night now. So we're maybe chasing you now. And yeah, so that's been another, that was another simplify thing. Okay, we want to sit, well, God is saying to simplify because I want to work it in the midst of you. I want to work in your midst, and you don't need to complicate things. Don't do it if you don't feel that you need to do it anymore. If I'm telling you not to do it, don't do it. So it was a bit of a challenge. So, well, that's different. We're not going to do that anymore. But, you know, God is forever changing whatever he wants to do, and we're just obedient and willing to do what he asks us to do, and that's all we can do in our lives as a church. As long as we live that way, then we're not going to go wrong. Not far wrong, we're just not going to go wrong. And then the most recent shift and change throughout the last year has been the prayer watch, which in some ways that kind of was we were almost needed to change that, because we were basically promoting that we'd got a 24-hour prayer watch from 6 Friday till 6 Saturday. But it kind of got to the point where we had a 24-hour clock with 14 people. And I don't know about you, but I'm not very good at maths, but I can work out that that kind of leaves a few empty spaces and a few empty hours. And it really got to the point where it was like, okay, God, what are you saying here? And I'd sat down, obviously Audrey coordinates that and does some great work sending the stuff out for that. And it's like, what are we going to do here? Let's pray about this. Let's ask God, is he saying that we need to change something about this? Does something need to change? In because there's got to be a reason why we've got a 24-hour prayer clock with only 14 people. What is the purpose for this now? Because we know we need to keep praying, and if anything, we need to pray more and we need to strengthen what God is doing, because we want to see prayer constantly covering what we do as a church and covering the people and being honoring to those people who we say, I'll put you on our church prayer clock if you like. We want to honor those people by the fact that they're getting prayed for when we say they're getting prayed for. So just recently, in the beginning of last month, that was changed to become a daily prayer watch. A daily thing, which has been great, and I've been encouraged because I've just been handed a most up-to-date one of those by Audrey today, and that's got 20 people on it now, so that's kind of like an increase in people who are willing to pray and are coming forward to do that. So I think apart from 3 days every week, every day of the week has got at least 3 people praying on that particular day. Praying into the stuff that's sent out at the moment is the stuff about I will build my church, and building his church in Barlston, in Israel, in the nations, and all of those things that we're covering in prayer. At least 3 people every day are covering that. And those people who we have prayer requests from are being covered by at least 3 people every day of the week. I don't know about you, but that's good. Yeah. That pleases God to know that his people are praying. And there has been a shift already. There's been a change already as a result of that. I haven't got time to go into all that, but within a few weeks, we were starting to see answers for prayers coming back as a result of that, which is really encouraging, because that's, one, people are praying, and two, we're seeing the answers of that, and that is encouraging. So bless you guys who send feedback, because sometimes it might not seem right to you, but there's been some feedback that I've had the last couple of weeks that have just been so spot on and really right down the line of something that God is already speaking to me. So don't think that it's not useful, because it is. You might think that doesn't make sense, but it might make sense when it comes through on my Mac in my office at some point. So regardless of what you think, send it, because it could be a missing puzzle piece to something, or it could be a confirmation for something. So bless you guys for that. We are moving forward with that. And if you're not on a day and you do want a day, just speak to Audrey when she's around and just say, I'd like to have a day on the prayer watch, and then we can send through the stuff, and you just have the same thing, and you can pray at any time during that day. Select a day where it's on your lunch hour at work, in the car on the way to work, but when you get up, when you go to bed, whatever. But as long as you take some time to pray and you're declaring those things that are sent out, then it's powerful and it's doing something. And I'm excited to see what God's going to do even more with that, which is some great stuff already coming out of that. And so for us as a church, where we sit at the moment, and then I'm going to hand to Keith. So where we sit at the moment with regards to numerically, and this is something that I've said before. I know we say, well, God's not into numbers, but he is into numbers, because he wants to see more people going to heaven than he does to hell. And he loves numbers. He wrote a book about them. And he's kind of like, he's into numbers. He wants to see more people in the church than out of the church. He wants to see more people in heaven than he does in hell. He wants to populate heaven and plunder hell. I think that's a Reinhard Bonnke phrase, that one is. And so numbers is a big deal to God. But he also really cares about the one. Such is our God that he can be about the one, but about the numbers as well. And so for us at the moment, we're basing the figures on an average Sunday attendance. So this would be people who would be an average Sunday attendee that are coming to a Sunday service all the time. So at the moment for us as a church, where we sit is we have 37 adults and 16 children, young people, which makes a total of 53 when everybody's in the church and in the service at the same time. So at the beginning of a service, before the kids go out, if everybody was here on 1 week, we would have 53 people in this room. So that leaves 7 spare chairs. So I don't know about you, but we're already close to pushing that first barrier of 60, which means we're halfway there almost to what God wants to do, but I'm going to come to that again later as well. So we're on track to what God wants to do. And, you know, during that time, this last year or so, people have come, people have gone, but God is building his church. Jesus is building his church, and all the things that we do in are all in line with Jesus saying, I will build my church. All we can do is say, okay, Jesus, you're saying you're going to do it. What do you want us to do to make sure that that is what you want to do? Where we sit at the moment with regards to numbers, you know, yeah, you might look and think. So, for example, you could look on a Sunday and think, like this Sunday, there were probably more empty chairs than there were full chairs, but I will build my church. And God is doing something, and God is moving, and God is going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. So that's pretty much the last year. I don't really want to say any more about the last year. I think that pretty much covers it. I'd rather focus more tonight on where we're going and what God wants to do as opposed to what he has done. It's great to look back and reflect on that, but we spend too long looking in the rearview mirror. We can't see what's going on in front of us, and God's about moving into what he's got for the future of his church and continuing to build his church. So I'm going to hand over to Keith now to come and do the formal bit. It's not the boring bit, the formal bit.
Good evening. Yeah, 2014-15, very long time ago. In another 5 weeks' time, we'll be in the next one. So time does fly rather quickly. Our year-end close is 14th of April, so you know it's not very far away. So what we're hoping to do, despite having such a late one this year, is hope to have another AGM in 6 months' time, but with the current year's one, because it will mean more to you, and will be more like history lessons, which it is at the moment. So, I'm going to swap onto the first. Thanks. Right, okay. This is just a graphical presentation of our statement of financial activities. We've got voluntary income of £136,000, charitable activities income of £14,000. We spent £55,000 on the advancement of Christianity, £43,000 community outreach, support costs of £32,500. If you want the detail of that, if you look on the Charity Commission website, that is there for you to have a good look at in full detail. If you're an insomniac, it's really good for putting you to sleep. It does cover the sort of things, our objectives, our activities, what we've achieved, what we're looking forward to doing, that sort of thing. Pretty much in line with what Pastor Shane's already been talking about. In terms of our accounts, our auditors say that we are... yeah, in a good position. They expect us to have a minimum working balance of around about £5,000. In the last year, we had approaching £15,000. So, as far as they're concerned, pretty healthy and not so bad at all. What happened in that year? We got rid of the Galaxy that went. Pastor Lynn obviously retired in the end of September, beginning of October of that year. And we took on Josh as a gap student from January 2015. So all those sort of things occurred in that year. It was the last, in the September of that year, was the last time we ever received anything from Rank in terms of Pastor Shane's employment. So our grant has finally finished. We don't have that anymore. So we're now standing on our own 2 feet. So if you want to move forward on the current year, right, this is... currently, right up to today. So our voluntary income this year is 82,000, charitable activities 5,000, advancement to Christianity 47.5, community outreach 21, just over, support cost 24,000. With another 5 to 6 weeks to go, we're heading still in the right direction. This covers, well, both of those cover not only the church, but also our what they call restricted funds, which are funds which go out to Uganda, that sort of thing. They're all covered in there. Now, if you add these together, that exceeds that. That's because we've been paying out money to Uganda. We've also now paid out more in respect of the balance of the year when Pastor Shane's grant finished. We were, as a church, obviously... meeting more and more of his costs. But if we take the church purely on its own, we're actually slightly in hand, and so our balance is actually slightly higher than it was at the beginning of the year, so it's a healthy position. In this particular year, we've obviously done the car park, which if you're now parked in it, that was done. It's a final thing after about 6 odd years of with a planning approval that said we had to do it. We have finally done it, and then the council's really happy about that. We got the annex signed off by building control, which was quite amazing in one way or another, but then we're quite happy with it. And we've done one or two other things. So we've not just done the normal sort of running expense, but actually enhanced the place in various different ways. So currently looking pretty satisfactory. Changes in the future. From April this year, George Osborne, in his great wisdom, has decided that instead of giving us gift aid on £5,000 worth of collection, he's going to give it on £8,000. So effectively, we can increase our gift aid coming in on small donations by £750, which obviously is very useful. To give you an idea, currently, in the current year, we took something like £7,400 to date in the collection in cash. So we're on schedule, if that was to be repeated next year, to gaining the full money back. So instead of £1,250, we'd probably end up with £2,000 worth of income from that source. So obviously that's very useful. Equally, George Osborne has also changed the situation with what's called the employment allowance. Currently, we can get £2,000 back. That's being increased to £3,000. So obviously, nice and beneficial if we do that. But that's all based on employers' national insurance. One thing we haven't managed to do yet, but we hope to do in the new year, is to paint the outside of this building, because obviously it's beginning to wear in a little bit, having had 6 or 7 years' worth of weathering and whatever you. So that's one thing that's on our agenda for the future. One slight thing you could always help us with, if you're a lady or a man who's really good at cooking, we could do with some cakes on a Tuesday to sell. These are extremely well received in this cafe. We sell out, and we're on to nearly 3 cakes a week now. So if you don't make them, we have to go and buy them, obviously, because otherwise Rita's always making them. So if you could help, there is a little list on the inside of that door. They take in quite a lot of money, and people really do enjoy coming to, you know, take home-baked cakes, really useful. And it does help to make those figures more and more healthy, though it obviously doesn't do people's waistlines back good, but, you know. So, any questions? Or are they that boring you want to go?
What's your favourite cake?
Coffee. Coffee, chocolate, and then lemon. Yes. Sharon's coffee cake's really good. Rita's is too. Lemon cakes by Faye over there. Very nice.
Round of applause for Keith. Thank you, Keith. You did very well there to lighten up accounts using cake. Sold out a cake today, believe it or not. Yeah. So I think Darren bought most of it, but okay, so yeah. I like Victoria Sponge, by the way. Okay, so this is the bit of a vision night that I like to get to, because this is vision. Okay, everything before was looking at, okay, it's encouraging to see what God's done with regards to fulfilling his vision. It's encouraging to see how God is providing and our accounts are healthy. But as we move into the next few months now, as we move into this next year, we need to be passionate about what God's got for us. We need to work into what God's got for us, yeah? Have I got everybody with me?
Yeah.
Okay, I know it's Tuesday evening, but there's been Kingdom Coffee available, so there's no excuses. Okay, so I want to really look at what God has got for us, looking forward into where we're going. This is one of the main purposes of my job as the leader of this church, is to hear from God and to find out what he is saying, and then present that in a way that catches your imagination and catches your spirit and catches something in you which says, yeah, I want to go for that. I want to live for that. I want to work for that. I want to give my life for that. I want to put myself in a position where God's going to bless the church, is going to bless me because I'm doing what he's calling me to do. Okay, like I said on Sunday, I'm just going to keep going until I get you guys going. Preach you happy and get you going. So I will build my church. I did have a nice graphic, but we're unable to have that up. So I will build my church. Not me, Jesus. I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The powers of hell will not prevail against it. Nothing will prevail against it. Throughout history, from the birth of the church, nothing has been able to cause the church to stop. The church has advanced through the first century persecution. It's advanced through civil war. It's advanced through its institutionalization and all the stuff that, I mean, the Romans got hold of it and tried to make it all institutionalized. It survived right through over 2,000 years. The church of Jesus continues to be built because Jesus said, I will build my church. And when he says something, he means it. My grandma used to say when we were kids, grandma means it. Okay. And you know she meant it. And she'd come at you with her hands that she was doing the washing up with. And it used to hurt a bit more if she'd been washing up. No. I don't think my grandma ever hit me, but she did just say, grandma means it, and that was enough. But when Jesus says something, Jesus means it. It wasn't just an off-the-wall comment. You know, God had just revealed a major revelation to Peter. You're the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Peter, because you've not learnt this from man. God has revealed this to you. My Father in heaven has revealed this to you, and on this rock I will build my church. And Jesus is building his church from the moment he made that declaration. He continues to build his church across the nations, in this nation, and in this village. He is building his church. Jesus is building his church. And as he builds his church, we have a part to play. It's not just a mystical thing where Jesus just does it. He needs his people. He needs his people to do the work on the earth today. He needs us, he needs the ECC, he needs the people to be doing what he's calling us to do. And I know it sounds weird to say Jesus needs you, but he kind of chose you to do that. If he hadn't, he could have had another plan where he didn't need you, but he chose something else. He chose a plan that involved you. He chose a plan that involved you. It says that he chose you, you didn't choose him. So as I said this morning, when you were lined up on the wall, ready for the captains to pick teams, Jesus chose you. He picked you and he called you out with a purpose to do something in that declaration to build his church. So yes, Jesus is building his church, but we're also building the church alongside him. He's called us to be co-builders. He's called us to co-laborers, to be co-laborers with Christ. What a privilege. What an amazing privilege in life to be saying that I'm a co-laborer with Christ. He's building his church and I'm building alongside him. He's building his church and he's building into me. He's building his church and he's using me because he's positioning me somewhere. We can use every analogy we want, but Jesus is building his church. So coming into this year then, coming into this weekend, we're coming into that vision which we had from last year, that a Sunday evening service, 6 till 7:30 on a Sunday evening, the doors will be open. We will be here worshipping, preaching, doing what we do on a Sunday morning, apart from the kids and youth work. But we will be here. We will be ready to step into what Jesus has asked us to do. Now, does that mean that Sunday evening we close the doors and we say, woohoo, we had 120 people today? Probably not. I'm realistic. I know that God can do amazing things, but I also know that God sometimes wants us to work a little bit for when we get something, because when we work for something, we respect it a lot more. When we work for something, we don't give it up very easily. When we've had to fight for something, we've had to battle for something, and we've been hurt, we've been damaged, and we've had to go through all the pain to get to where we were, when you've got a hold of something like that, you're not going to let hold of it. You're not going to let go of it easily. Whereas something that comes easy, it doesn't matter. You know, the stuff that you're given for free, it's like, whatever. But I know that when I was a child, and this is just an example of when you work for something, even as a child, because I really wanted a Great Britain Rugby League shirt. And I think in that time, they were about £40, which was still quite expensive in those days. But my mum and dad said, well, if you want one, you're going to have to save your money to get it. Which I was like, seriously? Can't you just buy me one? Like, the test series is going to be over. There'll be a new kit out by the time I've saved up for the one that I want. But they're like, well, no, you're going to have to save up for it. You get your pocket money, you save up and get this shirt. And eventually I got enough money and I bought this shirt and I loved that shirt. I loved that shirt. I think we had to, like, chisel it off of me because I would just not take it off. It's like, I've saved hard for this shirt. I've worked to get this shirt, and I loved that shirt. And, you know, I think I got it about a month before the new one came out, but it didn't bother me because that shirt was one of the best things, and I loved that shirt because I'd worked for it. And, you know, God could very easily just miraculously send people into this place. He could send 60 on a morning, 60 on an evening, and say, bang, there you go. But I really don't think he's going to do that because we've got a part to play. He wants us to bring the people. He wants us to do the work. He wants us to be the ones that are making it a place where people can come into that. So for us, moving into this Sunday is great because we fulfill what God's vision was to us last year. Put a Sunday evening service on. So unless something drastic happens between now and then, which it won't, we will fulfill the previous vision, which moves us on to the next thing for this coming year and forever, how long is getting to that first benchmark and that first landmark of I've said, looking back and saying, okay, well, there were 60 people here this morning and there were 60 people here this evening. There's 120 people that are now connected with Elohim Christian Church. There's 120 people that are in this place worshipping on a Sunday. And, you know, to some people that doesn't sound like much, but, you know, we're nearly halfway there now. And God wants to keep building his church. Jesus is building his church. And as he does that, he wants us to be a part of that. And he wants us to do something. He doesn't want to just miraculously send people. He wants to do a work in each and every single one of us. That when we look back on whenever that is, that Sunday, and say, wow, look what God's done. We've worked really hard for this. We've given for this. And we value this. And we value what God's done in the lives of these people. Because at the moment, they're just not here yet. They are members of ECC that don't know they're members of ECC yet. There are people that are going to be following Jesus that don't know they're following Jesus yet. There are people that are going to be sat at a vision night that just don't know it yet. But God's spoken. And just as God said to go forward with putting a second service on, God has spoken and said, you will see 120 as your first benchmark. And I don't know how long that's going to take. If I did, I'd be feeling a lot happier about it. You know, God said on this day, it'd be great, wouldn't it? But I don't know how long it's going to take. I don't know what's going to happen in the between time. But what I know is it's going to happen. I know this is what God said. Okay, 80% sure this is what God said. But, you know, we're never 100% sure, are we? So, you know, sorry about that, but I'm just not that kind of guy. I'm never fully 100% sure. I just want to put that out there, okay? If you're fully 100% sure that you've heard from God sometimes, then you can come and speak to me afterwards and give me a pep talk or something. But when we say God said, we're pretty much saying this is what we believe God has told us to do. This is what we believe God is saying. And as we go after this, we're going to see God do some amazing things. We're going to see God do some exciting things. We're going to see God build into people. He's going to build into you. He's going to build into people that aren't here yet. He's going to get something going. You know, the Sundays are going to start to be even more amazing. As I was preaching on Sunday, the best is yet to come. Things don't stay the same and things don't go backwards. They go forwards and they get better and better and better because that is a kingdom of God dynamic where God is always into improving. God is always into moving forward. God is always into growth, whatever that growth might be. Sundays are going to be an awesome day. Yeah. Sundays as a day, you're going to go home if you're part of the Sunday evening service or a Sunday morning service or both services, whatever you choose to do. You're going to lay your head down on a Sunday and think, what an awesome day. But it takes a mindset shift in that. A new season requires us to make a shift and change what we see and what we think. Because, like I say, for me, it's already been a mindset shift to think, well, yes, okay, I'm going to be after here at 5:30 on a Sunday till we've finished. So how does that look for me? Well, that means I'm not there for bath time on a Sunday anymore. So that's going to be interesting. That means I don't have lunch, which will be lunch at that time, with the family anymore because the kids will be in bed. And I'm like looking at a watch thinking on Sunday, it's 3:30, and next week in 2 hours' time, I'm going to be out again. So all these mindset shifts that we have to make because, and that takes time as well, But we have to make these shifts. As a church, we've got to be ready to make a shift in our thinking and our minds and the way that we work, because things are going to be different. And if we don't adjust to what is different and try to stay the same, then we're just not able to process. You know, the Joshua and the Israelites, you'll be aware of the fact, those that are well-versed in Scripture, that it says that when they crossed over the river, the manna stopped. There was no more manna from heaven anymore. There was a new way of provision coming. There was a new way that God provided for his people, because for 40 years, the people were used to this manna falling from heaven. They were used to stepping out of the tent and picking up this substance which tasted like milk and honey of the promised land to give them a taste of what was to come. But one day, when they'd crossed into the promised land, it stopped. The manna from heaven stopped. The way that the people functioned, thought, provided for themselves, shifted into something else. They now fed from the crops and the fruit and the harvest of the promised land. Now, there's two dynamics there at play. One, they had to make a shift and change. They couldn't be thinking, well, I really want manna today. Otherwise, they were going to starve. They had to eat of what it was that was provided for them at that time in this new season. And secondly, if they didn't choose to, they wouldn't have got to taste the food of the promised land. So God provided the manna. God provided what was needed in the desert, and he provided in that way. But as soon as they were in the promised land, something shifted, and the whole nation of Israel had to change their mindset and their thinking, because from now on, it wasn't going to be put on a plate for them, if you want to use that term. They were going to have to go and do what needed to be done. They were going to have to get the fruit. They were going to have to pick the fruit. They were going to have to harvest. They were going to have to do all the things that they needed to do to provide. So that was a big mindset shift. So any seasonal change, any slight shift or change in our walk of life, in our walk as a church, brings a shift and a change. So we are going to need to have a different mindset and a different shift. What that is, well, I'm sure we'll develop it as we go along, but we need to be ready to accept the fact that things are different. Things are going to look different. Things are going to sound different. Things are going to taste different. But it doesn't mean that it's not the promised land. We can either be longing for the manna, which God has stopped, or we can taste and see that he's good and take a hold of the stuff. The manna was great. It gave them a taste of the promised land. It tasted the milk and honey. And, you know, it was a land flowing with milk and honey in the promised land. But when they got there, it didn't just have a substance that tasted like milk and honey. They had milk and honey and everything else that came with it. So we've got to be ready to make that shift as individuals. We've got to be willing to make a shift. And it's going to require a little bit more from people, as you know, the kingdom of God, that's just the way it is. It requires a little bit more as we keep pressing forward. There's a little bit more that's required. But if everybody is willing to give a little bit more, then it lightens the load on everybody else, doesn't it? So whatever that is. So we've got a job to do with regards to what God's asking us to do. And as we do that, as we go after that vision and we pursue after what God's got for us, we will see what he wants to do. I don't know when, but we're going to see it. And that new season needs a new mindset. And when you're moving into these kinds of things, you always want to make sure that you've got the right people, and you want the right people in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. Any good sports coach, any manager of a team is going to want all his best players on the pitch at the same time, playing in the position that they're supposed to play. Being a Leeds Rhinos fan, we've just won our first game this season. We've gone from like winning the treble last year to being in dire straits at the moment. But we lost three key players who retired, and then everybody's got injured. So they're like, it's like there's this team. It's like, who is this team? But the manager is like, he must be thinking to himself, I want all the right people on the pitch in the right positions, but they're injured or they're not available or they're not there. And it's frustrating. But it doesn't have to be that way with God. When we're with God, he wants everybody in their position where they're supposed to be. He wants the best players on the pitch all the time, playing in the right position. And I know that's sporting talk, but hopefully that makes sense to you. So what I want to just briefly mention is about one of the changes that, well, not a change, it's just a progression, really. And it's just looking at the the ongoing pastoral care for us as a church and how that looks and how that's going to work in this coming season, because there's a care pastorally for those that are here now, those who we have in the church, but then there's also a care for those that are going to be coming. You know, when there's 120 people, that's a lot of pastoral care. That's a lot of people that are going to need walking through past issues. That's a lot of people that are going to need help. That's a lot of people that are going to need support. So the fact that you want your best players in the pitch at the right time, the fact that you want the right people in the right position, there's nobody in this church who's better at doing that job than Pastor Lynn. This woman has a gift on her life that is a pastoral gift, a mercy gift, and an ability to connect with people as a pastor. And Pastor Lynn is a pastor. And I don't know if that's ever got confusing for people over these last couple of years, but I don't know about you, but when Pastor Colin did your ordination, he's not contacted to say, well, Pastor Lynn's retired as the leader of the church now, so therefore that is retracted, because it doesn't work that way. Pastor Lynn is a pastor, and although Pastor Lynn isn't leading the church and isn't on the leadership team now, she is a pastor with an amazing gift and an amazing ability. So I'm really pleased that we've been able to talk through some stuff and look at how this is going to work, and we're still working it out now, but Pastor Lynn's going to be really operating in a support role and of pastoral care here at ECC. That is cool. Because you want everybody in the right position, don't you? you want the right people in the right place. Yeah. And God has got the right people. Yeah. And sometimes we have to just find where that's supposed to be. And I'm really pleased that this is going to be something that we do. And anybody that's been a part of the church for a long time will know the amazing working relationship that me and Pastor Lynn had when Pastor Lynn led the church. And I was glad that we're going to be able to work forward. Yes, things are going to be slightly different because I'm now leading the church, but there's no reason that people can't function in their gifting and do what God's got for them. So just to make that really clear, you know, yeah, I'm still leading the church and I'm still the pastor of the church, but my gifting of leading this church is very different to the gifting that Pastor Lynn had when leading the church. And I'm really privileged and blessed, because this now means that I'm going to be freed up to operate in what my gifting is, which is to lead this church into the promised land and into what God's got for us in this season. I'm going to be released to do more of what God has asked me to do as a leader of the church and to lead into that. Will I still be a part of pastoral care? Absolutely, because I'm a pastor as well. I have a certificate on my wall from Pastor Colin which says, I have holy orders, is what it says on there. And so I have that ability to do that too. It's just that it's not a primary gift for me. And I know that God has called me in this season to be somebody that is spearheading and leading this church forward. But we've got everybody in the positions that they need to be and everybody on the field at the right time. God can do something amazing. And God is going to do something amazing. So I just want to put down any stuff that people have been saying or things that have been talked about in the church and things that have been round and about, because most of it's probably not true. Now, I know people talk, and when people talk, just tell them to shut up. Because sometimes people say things that are not helpful and people put things out there that are not helpful. You know, the whispers in the dark can soon become a tool of the enemy. And we've got to be really careful as a church, because yes, Jesus is building his church, but the enemy's prowling like a lion. And just because he said he's going to build his church, the lion doesn't stop prowling. And there's going to be stuff trying to come against this house all the time. Nothing is going to want us to achieve the vision that God's got for us. Nothing is going to want us to get to that. The enemy doesn't want us to do that. Nothing in the enemy's mind is going to be thinking, I'll let him off. He's going to try and bring down, stop, and do anything he can. He's going to try and do it from the inside, because he knows the outside aren't interested at the moment. But we've got to be careful with what we say. We've got to be careful. September, we're 2 years into this transition, and we're just getting a grasp of it now as a church. We're just getting used to how this looks. We're just getting the dynamic of what happens. But little comments and little things that are said are not helpful, and it doesn't work. I'm sorry to start sounding like the head teacher of a school, but I really want to just make that clear, because those little things can be really damaging. the little off comments or the little things that don't seem like much can be something that it can soon, the seed can soon become a big thing. So let's just be careful with what we say. And if you can hit, you know, just if you, people start saying, just say, I don't want to talk about that, that's just not helpful. That's not healthy, and move on. But it's great that we're able to be in this place, and, you know, it's great that we've got Pastor Lynn in that position, and we'll be working together to see how that works. And it's a work in progress. You know, we get stuff wrong, and stuff doesn't always work out how we want it to work out, or it takes longer. But we're going to be working together and meeting together and looking at how we do that. And, you know, we're both contactable. If you want to contact Pastor Lynn, there's no issues with that. You know, I'm secure in my position as the leader of this church. I just want you to know that I'm secure as my position as the senior leader of this church. If you have a pastoral need and you want to contact Pastor Lynn in that role of pastoral care, then please feel free. Believe me, I'm not going to mind. But likewise, don't feel that you can't contact me either. You know, it's a two-way thing. And just know that me and Pastor Lynn will be meeting, and things will be fed back, and we will be talking through things, and we will be meeting. And as people progress onto that, as well as more people are shown to be neat, to be helping in that pastoral care dynamic in the church, these things will be discussed to be outworked and done. But, you know, there's one thing that an insecure leader knows what his weaknesses are, but just tries to get better at them because they're too scared to bring somebody in to do the job. Now, I know now that I am secure enough as a leader to say, that's not my primary gift and I can do it and I'm quite good at it, but there's actually somebody that's better than it, than me. So therefore, I want that person doing it. You know, I might want to think I'm a good singer. I'm not too bad. But I'm not going to like, well, you know what? I'm kind of, you know, well, I'm very insecure as a leader, so therefore I want to lead worship. But I'm not going to do it because there's people that can do it far better than I can. I've tried leading worship. It was all right, but certainly wasn't a primary gift. And as we start to look at this, we can move into a great new season as a church. So yet again, it's a dynamic shift. It's a shift and it's a change. If it's a leadership thing, you need to come and speak to the leadership team. If it's a pastoral thing, speak to Pastor Lynn. Please don't burden her with leadership stuff, because when she retired as a leader of the church, she was able to pass that one on. What's exciting for Pastor Lynn is she can now operate in her gift and her call without the, I don't want to say burden, but the weight of having the leading of the church that now rests upon me. But it's an exciting time, guys. God is at work, God is moving, and God is positioning people where they need to be. And you know, that's not, Pastor Lynn's not the only person recently that's been able to get positioned into where they feel they should be and doing what they should be doing. So God is on the move, and God is working and getting people strategically positioned where they need to be. That support role is going to be amazing. It's going to really work in our favor. It's going to enable me to continue leading and doing what I'm supposed to do as the church. And it's also going to see a very gifted individual using God's gifts to further the kingdom of God in the church now, and the people that are coming as well. As, I will be still doing pastoral care as well. So don't worry about that. If you want to come and see me, I am available. But, But just to make that clear, I just want to make it really clear. Don't feel that you can't text Pastor Lynn or contact Pastor Lynn or speak to Pastor Lynn and say, oh, can we get together about and do this? Because that's perfectly fine. Pastor Lynn is a pastor in this church, a pastor in any church, Kingdom Faith relating, and that's a gift that we want to use. So don't feel that you can't, oh, and we're going behind Pastor Shane's back and all these rubbish things that come out. None of that. I don't see it like that. You know, as I say, if it's a leadership thing, then that needs to come to the leadership team. But if it's something else, then don't worry about it. Trust me. And as I say to most people, you're probably going to get it wrong. You're probably going to do something wrong. And there's a freedom to get stuff wrong because we have a very gracious God. I get stuff wrong all the time, but I'd rather get something wrong than do nothing at all. Sometimes we're so scared of getting it wrong that we never do it. You know, I look back and think, oh, that was a mistake, but at least I had a go. have a go. Do something. Don't think, oh, can I do this? Can't I do that? Just do it. Those of you that are ministry coordinators and are doing something, I just want to put it out there. Just do it, okay? Don't feel that everything needs to be run past me as the leader. There's certain things that you need to speak to the leaders about, but there's certain things that you are trusted as the coordinator of that ministry to do it. You know, if you want to change something, then whatever, okay? I don't need to know everything. I don't want to know everything, okay? But you'll use your wisdom to know, okay, this is it. This is what I probably speak about. If we're going to change the color of the walls, I probably want to know about that. If you worship team, if you're introducing a new song on a Sunday, I probably want to know about that. If you, well, I could do a right list. I'm not doing any more. But I want to just put it out there on this Vision Night recording that if you have been given ministry coordinator authority for a particular area, then that comes with an ability to do something with it. Don't feel that everything has to come to me, because most of the time, I'm probably just going to say, well, what do you think you should do anyway? So you might as well just go on and do it, and don't be worried if I'm going to tell you off. If it's really bad, I might do. I'm constantly telling Josh off, because this guy seriously needs some lessons in being tidy. Fair play to him. He does work with me and Charlene upstairs, and we're kind of like probably the tidiest people in the church. But Josh was off with a cold a few weeks ago, and we cleared his desk for him and cleaned it. It's everything went in the drawer. So I'm tidy, but I do have a messy drawer. So it looks tidy, but it's not. But, you know, he gets like, Josh, are you going to clean up just for kids today? Josh, are you going to clean your desk today? But, you know, he just gets told off. You got told off at the last weekend, didn't you, as well? So, like, where were you on Saturday night? Like, I know where you were. You were watching the rugby, weren't you? No excuse. Get yourself here. So some people are going to get, but don't worry about it. I'm not going to, like, come down on you too hard, okay? Don't worry about it, okay? It's all good. If you wouldn't have been put in the position to be leading that particular ministry if you weren't trusted to do it. Okay, so there is freedom to do that. And there doesn't need to be a straight to the top kind of thing. You know, make some decisions. That's how you grow. That's how you learn. You know, if you get it wrong, then you know you won't get it wrong again. If you get it right, you'll be really glad. Like, wow, I didn't even need to check that out. I've done a really good decision. So, you know, it's all about leadership development. But go for it. Just do it. I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm probably going to like have people coming all the time now. Don't worry about it. We all just need to be kind and patient as a church. We're still working through stuff. We're still figuring out how things look, but we just need to be kind and patient with one another to recognize that people are going to get stuff wrong. People aren't necessarily going to be on their A game all the time. People aren't always going to be preaching on a Sunday and feeling the fire of God all the time. You know, sometimes you get up on a preach on a Sunday and you're just thinking, I want to be in bed. I don't want to be here. I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to do this today. But you get up and you do it. But not everybody's going to be on their A game all the time. Not everybody's going to say the right thing to you. Not everybody's going to send you a text when you think they should send you a text. Not everybody's going to say hello when you think you should say hello. And all these things. Because we're human, we're people, and we get it wrong. But God loves us anyway. And he uses us anyway. And he builds his church anyway. Because we're a group of imperfect people that are serving a perfect God, and somewhere in between we get a perfect vision and we meet something of God and we touch something of God, because God is on the move and God is building his church. We all need to be ready to be patient and kind with one another and help people walk through that and not doing any more damage than needs to be done. And as a church, we've got to be patient that God is going to fulfill his vision. But in the meantime, we've got to be ready to do what we need to do. You know, it's great when we're to go and join a massive church and join a big church, but to be a part of a church in its ground and it's working and it's going forward, that's the time when the rubber really hits the road. And that's the time when the grounding out is really done, that like it has been over these last 22 years. And as we continue to do that, that is when it matters. And that's when the people really stick it out and really push forward into that. I'm not usually one to quote Oprah, but I heard a great quote by her Oprah. And she said, I'm not necessarily interested in the people that want to ride in the limousine with me. I'm more interested in the people that are willing to take the bus ride when the limousine breaks down. And that's what it's like for us. That's what God's saying to us. You know, you can go and join somewhere that's already done all the groundwork and just love it. But do you want to do that, or do you want to have to get on the bus journey for a little bit until you get to the limousine? Because, you know, that's what God has got for us. Not a limousine. I don't know. Maybe one day. An ECC limousine, that would be an interesting thing in Barlston. It'd have to be one of those Hummer limousines, wouldn't it? But metaphorically speaking, God has got something for us. I will build my church. God is doing something, and we're not here for ourselves. We're not here for ourselves. That we exist for the people who aren't here yet. Yes, as I said, we want to care for one another. One another being a key phrase. It's used a lot in the Bible. One another. It's not all about looking and thinking, well, that person is in that position and they didn't do that. You know, one another. You know, friends. Loving one another. Church. Loving one another. Doing the one another thing. Yes, there's always going to be times when other people need to come in with a bit more weight into a situation. But one another. And we're not here for ourselves. We exist for those people who haven't come through the door yet. We exist for those other people that are still haven't got the revelation that this is where they're supposed to be on a Sunday and a Tuesday and whatever else day. That's why we're here. We're not an insiders club. We keep doing what we can and we keep pushing forward and doing what we can for the people that haven't come to God yet, that haven't come to the church yet, that haven't come to a place of salvation yet, because we've got the ticket to ride. And we've having an amazing ride doing that. But we want to make sure that the people come into that and not only get the ticket to ride, but come right through to that place of salvation and discipleship as well. And that is why we're here, to make Jesus known. That, you know, that is our purpose. So that means if we're making Jesus known, then it's not about us. It's about the people who don't know him. Because what's the point of making Jesus known to somebody that already knows him? Logical. But it's about the people that we haven't got here yet. So just to finish with this, and as I've said, it talks a lot about having to do something. It talks about work. It talks about having to dig in there. It talks about doing what God wants us to do and doing our bit. But I just want to read this scripture. This is from 2 Kings 3:16 to 17. I'm going to read the Message version. And it says this. This is God speaking to Elisha. He then said, "Dig ditches all over this valley. Here's what will happen. You won't see the rain, but this valley is going to fill up with water, and your army and your animals will drink their fill." Dig ditches all over this valley, because I'm going to fill the ditches. Dig ditches all over this valley, because you won't see the rain, but I'm going to send the rain. And when I do, those ditches are going to fill. And when those ditches fill, the army, the livestock are going to get the fill from those ditches. Now that sounds quite like hard work to me. I've dug ditches before. And it's not good. It's not pleasant work, physically digging ditches. It's hard work. We had to do it at Roffey on our work party thing. It was like in the middle of winter, like just there shoveling away, digging out these foundations for something or other. And it was like, oh, could you just hire a mini digger? Instead of giving all the lads at Roffey a shovel. But, I learned something in that time. Digging is tough. Digging's not easy. But as we dig the ditches, and as we do what God's asking us to do, as he said to Elijah, dig the ditches, because this is what's going to happen. The ditches are going to fill. If we keep digging and we keep doing and we keep trusting and we keep being faithful and we keep seeing what God is doing and we keep hearing what God is saying and doing what he says, those ditches are going to fill. And we'll look and we'll think, wow, these ditches have filled up. I didn't even realize we'd stop digging, but God's starting to fill the ditches. The people are coming to drink from these ditches. The people are, it sounds awful drinking from a ditch, doesn't it? But you know what I mean? The people are starting to come and be drawn to this. And we're bringing people to this because we've prepared. Now, I truly believe that if Elisha hadn't have been faithful in doing what God had asked, the rain would have come anyway, but there'd have been nothing to hold it. God has told you to dig ditches. Sorry, mate. I've sent the rain. You didn't see it, but it's gone now. So we've got to be ready to dig the ditches. God is saying to us, dig the ditches. Dig the ditches. So when I start to move in a way that I haven't moved yet, you might not see it, but you'll know it when it happens, and you'll be ready. And all the stuff we've looked at here is all about being ready. It all sounds really practical, but God's a practical God. He wouldn't have told Elijah to dig ditches. He could have dug them for him, you know. Elijah had had fire come down from heaven, you know. Elijah must have been thinking, come on, mate, you sent fire for Elijah. Can't you, like, just scrape your finger through some ditches or something, you know. It's like, you know, dig the ditches, because there's a part for him to play in that. There's a part for us to play in what God's doing. We need to dig the ditches. Digging for victory, as they used to say in World War II. Dig for victory. We need to dig ditches. He'll build his church, and keeping in right in the forefront that we are ECC. We're not anybody else. We are ECC. And as I said on Sunday, the best is yet to come, because that is the kingdom dynamic. The best in your life is to come. The best in the life of the church is to come, because God is always building. And when he builds bigger, he builds better, he builds stronger, because that is our God and that is how he works. And that is an amazing place to be for us as a church. So vision, yes, we fulfill on Sunday. We will be a two-Sunday service church. The next point is to see, when we look and see, okay, we've filled those services now. What next? I don't know. Is it another building? Is it another service? Is it, I don't know. This is all just, this is not vision. This is just guesswork, because God's not told us what to do next, and he doesn't need to. When we get a little bit closer to the 120, then he'll start to speak again and tell us what to do next. But at the moment, what we need to do is dig the ditches, do what we need to do, and trust that God is going to do what he does, but recognizing that we're not here for ourselves, and we need to be bringing people. Because people, as Eric Coles mentioned last Sunday, people aren't magically going to appear. And that might happen every so often, but you're certainly not going to, well, it's going to take a long time to get to that number of people by just waiting for people to mystically appear. We've got a job to do. We've got work to do. And as a church, we are more than capable and strong enough to do what God is calling us to do. You just got to ask yourself a question, is that, am I up for this? Am I ready to take a hold of this and step into this? Is this something I can be a part of? Is this something I can connect with by heart? Am I connected to this? Am I connected to this church by heart? And that's a good question to ask yourself. You know, and I can tell you one way you can test that. Do you tithe? Because if you don't tithe, then your heart's not in this church. And that's honest. Some congregations only gauge their attendance based on those that tithe. Now, obviously, you might not be able to tithe because you might not have money to tithe. But if you're in a position to tithe, then that is a true gauge of, is your heart connected to this place? Where's your heart? Because my Bible tells me that wherever your treasure is, there your heart is also. So if you don't tithe and you give to Joel Osteen on God Channel, then your heart's with Joel Osteen and Lakewood, so you better buy a ticket for Texas and buy a Stetson and off you go. But I just want to put that out there, because that is a really good a good gauge. Where's my heart? Do I tithe to this place? Do I serve in this place? Do I pray for this place? Do I give for this place? Because if not, then that's a good question to ask. Where is my heart? And if you know that this is where you want your heart to be, then you can make some shifts and make some changes and do what needs to be done. But we're going places as a church. We're going places, and we're going where God has got for us to go. So all the stuff we've looked at tonight is exciting stuff. It's great stuff, and it's all a work in progress, and it's all things that we're going to be heading towards as a church. But we're going to get there, because God is getting us there. We're not doing this in our strength. We're not doing this in our ability. We're doing it in his strength, in his ability, in his declaration that he's going to build his church. So there's a lot of stuff to ask yourself about tonight, a lot of stuff to really get your head round, a lot of stuff to think about. The message has been recorded tonight, so if you want to listen back to it, you can. Also, if you've got spouses or family that couldn't be here for whatever reason, then do let them know that it's been recorded. We'll stick it up on the website so people can hear what's happening as well, because I know there's a lot of people that would have wanted to hear what was being said tonight, but for whatever reason can't be here. So do let them know about that. But tonight, I want us to close with, I want us to spend some time praying and really getting before God and just laying this before him, because, you know, he gives us a vision and he gives us a call and he gives us a purpose and he gives us all of those things. But we take it and we say, okay, God, we're up for this. We're up for this, aren't we?
Yep.
We're up for this.
Yep.
But then we still need to lay it before him and say, okay, God, we're up for this. We lay it before you. And we are going to do what we can. But we want to lay it before you, God, because we want to keep doing what you want us to do. So, Matt, are you all right to just get in position? Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. Now, nothing that's been said tonight is there to make anybody feel condemned or whatever. If you feel convicted, that's something different. Now, conviction comes from God. Condemnation doesn't. Condemnation comes from the enemy, or it comes from your own thinking. But conviction sometimes is a good step forward, because it helps us to see, okay, God, I've recognized. Thank you for showing me that something needs to change. Thank you for showing me that, yeah, I've got a shift to make. I need to see a change in my own life. I need to see a change in my attitude. I need to see a change in my ability to connect with you. I just feel as though that when I said about the tithing thing, that somebody felt condemned by that. But I just want to say right now that you're not to be condemned, because God isn't condemning anybody. And as a church, we don't condemn anybody. But if you feel convicted, that's something else. You know, we've looked at this countless times about the tithe. And I'm not just talking about this tonight, because we've had the accounts up. And, you know, God provides regardless. God sends what we need as a church regardless. The tithe isn't so much about us as a church. The tithe is about our personal relationship with God and where we're connected and living a blessed life by allowing God to bless that other 90% of our finance, by redeeming through giving that 10%, by returning back to God what is his. And I've said this before, but I wouldn't be a good leader or a good pastor if I didn't mention this from time to time about the tithe, because we all need reminding of it. We all hit points where finances are tight and things are a struggle, but it's a non-negotiable. It's a non-negotiable. It just, you know, you take a hold of that and you recognize that regardless of where I'm at, I've got to keep doing this, because yes, money's tight, but without doing this, it'll be even worse. So just be released from that tonight. And as I said, you know, to be connected by heart. If you have an ability to tithe, then this is your, if you're connected with ECC and this is where you say your church is, and this is your storehouse, this is your home, this is where God has called you to be, and that is where the tithe should go. It shouldn't be going anywhere else. It should be coming here. This is where God has placed you, and this is where God wants your heart to be. And as I said, we show that where our treasure is, there our heart is also. And to have our heart truly in it, to have our heart in it as a church, then we need to be practical with that as well. It's no good just saying it, but we've got to show that. We need to show that that's the case. And treasures could be anything. It's usually referencing the finance side of things in our modern day society. But where's your heart tonight? I know that everybody here has got a heart after God. But is your heart with this church? Is your heart here at ECC? Are you expectant and excited about what's being heard tonight? Are you, there's something stirring inside you just saying, I can't wait. I can't wait to get on with this. I can't wait to do what I'm supposed to be doing. And you know what? That could be anything. Because we've never been a church about titles, and we've never been a church about position. We've been a church about doing. And in the kingdom of God, we don't receive a title and then do something. We're doing something already. And God blesses us with something. He looks and says, well, you're doing a great job with that. You're a pastor. He looks and sees, you're doing a great job with that. And then the title comes after. It doesn't matter about titles so much. We sometimes get too hung up on those things. But God brings those things in. Do something. Because if you're here, there's something for you to do. Whether that's praying, whether that's serving on a Sunday morning, serving on a Sunday evening, serving during the week, baking a cake for Tuesday. You know, all these things we think, well, that doesn't look very significant, but I can guarantee that every little thing that's done to advance the kingdom in this place is significant. If that's baking a cake, it's significant. We need to see the bigger picture. You might think baking a cake isn't a big deal, but without cakes to sell on a Tuesday, cafe wouldn't be the cafe that it is. And it wouldn't be as popular with the people coming in, and we wouldn't be busy every Tuesday and doing what we do and having opportunity to connect with these people in the community without that. So you don't know if your Victoria sponge cake is going to be the thing that people are giving their life to Jesus over. You don't know if you doing a bit of cleaning is something that somebody's going to come in and somebody's going to come to know Jesus in that room that you cleaned. You don't know that saying hello to somebody and just being kind is going to be the stepping stone to somebody coming to that place of knowing Jesus. You know, we so often think about the big things and the miraculous things and the things that we see other people doing. And we think, well, if only I was doing what they were doing, then I'd be more fruitful. Well, start being fruitful and you might see yourself doing the things that those people that you look at are doing. We get it backwards sometimes. We get it backwards and we don't realize what it is that God is doing. Everything you do for this house is significant. The good and the bad. The great things you do are significant to see this place be the place it is. Everything needs to work together to function. That's why Paul used the description of a body. A body with a body part missing struggles to function. Every part has a part to play. And we are ECC. All of us together are ECC. We, whatever position, place, role it is that we're meant to be doing, they all have a significant place to be. We all have a significant purpose to reach the vision, to fulfill the purpose, to live the call. This is what God's got for us. This is what God's got for us as a church. As He stirs us as a people and says, just do what I'm asking you to do. Be obedient. Be willing. If you're willing and obedient, you will feed off the good of the land. It's not just about being obedient. It's about being willing as well. Anybody can be obedient with a bad attitude. But are we obedient and willing? Because willing speaks of a different attitude. I think this is, the prophet Isaiah spoke this about, if you are willing and obedient, you'll eat, taste of the good of the land. Willing and obedient. Are you willing and obedient to do what God's asking you to do? We've all got a bit to play. Every role that we play enables us to function in some way or another, and that sometimes doesn't match up in our thinking, and we kind of think, I'm not sure about that, or is that really a call? Is that really a ministry? Is that really been of significance in some way. You know, Sam, she isn't necessarily involved in what we would look at and call ministry, but I wouldn't be able to function in the way I do without Sam doing what she does. What Sam does in the home and what Sam does with the kids and what Sam does as a wife enables me to be the pastor that God wants me to be. If Sam was off doing something else, then I'd be really struggling to function and do what God wants me to do. Because the things click together. So don't feel that what you're doing isn't significant because it's not up front or it's not even in the church building. What you're doing might be something totally different, but it's significant and it means a lot. You don't know if what you're doing is enabling somebody else to continue to do what God's calling them to do. You see, sometimes we don't see how the things link up. We don't see how the chain comes together. And sometimes we don't need to know. All we need to know is that this is my place. This is my link in this chain. And if I keep doing that, then I'm going to facilitate what the next link does. And the next link does. And the next link does. I don't necessarily know it. I don't see it. But what I know is this is what God's got for me. And if I do that, then I'm going to be a facilitator. If I do that, then other people are going to be strengthened. If I do that, the church is going to grow. If I do that, Jesus is going to build his church. If I do that, people are going to be stirred because they might not see what I'm doing. But it's sometimes the things that are done behind closed doors that have the most impact in revival. The people that are behind the closed doors and are praying to see God move and are praying with a fire and are praying with a passion and are praying in such a way that God's able to come and invade earth. The people don't see that. People aren't aware of that, but God sees it and God moves and does something. The Christian walk and Christian ministry isn't all about upfront celebrity stuff. As much as things have gone a certain way in our today's culture, every single one of these things requires the body to be linked together. That's why it says we are ECC. Because we together are the body of this church. And as we do what God wants us to do, it is not insignificant. If you know you're doing what God's got for you, then it is of major, eternal significance to you and to somebody else. It is of eternal significance. And as a church, we want to be a church that is impacting eternal significance, not just being significant. Because being significant on the day of judgment, none of thing will be remaining. But to be of eternal significance, it all stands the test of fire. It all stands before God and says, this is what I'd called you to do. Take a hold of what God has got for you today. As you've heard where we've come, as you've heard where we're going, don't look down on what it is God's asking you to do now and think it's too small, it's not big or whatever. If you know this is what God's telling you to do, do it. Do it, do it. Because it all makes a difference. It all changes. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, I thank you that in this place, in this house tonight, this is a group of people that are ready to shift and change this village, that are ready to do what you ask us to do, that are ready to step into a destiny and a call to see you build your church. Jesus, that you are building your church in this place. Jesus, I thank you for the privilege of being a part of that tonight. I thank you that we are privileged that you have chosen us to be here at this time, in this generation, in this time, in 2016, that you have called us to be here right now to do what you have asked us to do. Jesus, as you build your church in Barlston and the surrounding areas around this place, across this nation, Jesus, that although we may only be at a position where people look and say, that small church, Jesus, that we would be a people that will live as we already have 120 people, that we would live as a church that already has 400 people, that we would live as a church that is in a position where God can do infinitely more. Jesus, that we wouldn't live in a mindset of a 40 people church, but we would live in a mindset that goes way beyond that, that we would shift our thinking, that we would say, God, work in us today, work in our lives by your Spirit, oh God. We can't do this without you, and we don't want to do it without you. Jesus, if it's not you, we don't want it. Jesus, if you're not with us, we're not going. Jesus, if you're not at work, then how the heck can we be at work? But Jesus, I thank you that you are at work and you've called us to work and you've got a plan for us, the church. Jesus, I thank you for the people in this room tonight who are ready to take a hold of what it is you want to do. Jesus, stir us as a church. Increase our giftings and anointings, Lord. Fresh oil tonight. A fresh oil to do the work. A fresh oil to do what it is you're calling us to do. Whatever that is, wherever that is. Lord, that we would be ready to respond to you instantly. And we would be willing and obedient to do that. God, I release willing hearts tonight. Willing hearts, willing and obedient people to do what you ask us to do. Jesus, work in us tonight. Lord, it's easy to become excited and passionate for a vision, but Jesus, we want to be excited and passionate first and foremost about you. Jesus, that our passion would be such that that same passion that drove David to stand before Goliath because he was disrespecting his God, that same passion would drive us to stand before the giants that face us. That same passion would stir us to say, this looks impossible. Jesus, I thank you that you're a God of the impossible. Jesus, that there would be a passion that says, this looks too hard, but your strength is going to get me through. Jesus, there would be a passion that says, I'm giving it for you, Jesus. We're going to see this happen because you've asked it. You've declared it. You've said it. Jesus, that you are building your church in this place. And I thank you that we have been called to be co-laborers with you, to be alongside you, to be with you, that we are privileged beyond measure. That you've called us out to do this, that you've called us out for a great work, a great purpose, a great destiny. Oh, Jesus, come on, Jesus. Stir in us tonight, oh God. Stir in your people tonight, Jesus, by your Spirit. Kurama saraba shira bazatande. Rezende bara sibro shoro bagastande. Reshtende brekira bazotondo robo si reze. Rakanama si robo zotondo robo shibre. Reshtende rabaki robo zotondo robo. Jesus, Jesus, it's all for you. It's all for you. It's all for you. Everything we've done, everything we're going to do, it's for you. It's for your kingdom. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Karasura bazata brakire bezete. Regadara basiro bojatanda brasiro zostondo. Rekenda brasiro bodetende. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Stir, oh God. Stir a passion in us, God. Stir a passion for Jesus. Stir a passion for Jesus. Stir a passion for your vision tonight. Stir a passion for your call. Stir a passion for your purpose. Lord, that we'd be ready to do whatever you want us to do. We'd be ready to do whatever you say to do. Rabba sibro kuroba zatande. Jesus, Jesus, just let him stir in you tonight. By the power of the Holy Spirit, let him stir in you tonight. Let the Spirit stir inside. Fresh strength tonight. Fresh strength tonight. Fresh hope in this place. A fresh cracking open of destiny right now in Jesus' name. Rukaraba sirebezetende. Rasharaba kirobozotondo. Jesus, Jesus. Stir, oh God. Jesus, Jesus, that we would be excited for the things that you're doing. Lord, forgive us when we treat the things that you do as mediocre. Forgive us when we look and think it's not good enough. Jesus, I thank you that whenever you work, it's always good enough and it's always better. Lord, break our thinking tonight. Help us tonight to have a shift to recognize, okay, God, this is what you've said. This is where we're going. We don't necessarily know how it looks. We don't know how we're getting there. But God, we know we are. Lord, that we would have a mindset shift tonight. Let God, by the power of His Spirit, do a mindset shift in you tonight. Whatever it is that's required, let Him do a mindset shift in you tonight. Because this weekend, we step into something new. We step into something different. We step into something that we've not experienced before. And when you step into things you've not experienced before, you don't always know what you're doing. You don't always know how to do it. You've only got to raise kids to get that one. Every day brings a different challenge. You think you've just got it down, and then something else happens, and you think, man, where's that come from? What do I do now? Because every day brings a fresh challenge. Every day brings something different, but every challenge brings a fresh opportunity with it. And as we step into this new thing, yeah, we look and think, well, I don't know how that's going to happen, but God does. And I have faith and I trust God that He's doing exactly what He wants to do. I have faith and I trust God that He's going to show us step by step how this looks and how this works. I have faith that He's going to help us with a mindset shift. I have faith that He's going to help us as He did the Israelites when they needed to start to harvest crops in Canaan and the Promised Land and not be dependent on God sending manna anymore. He did a mindset shift in them and enabled them to possess the Promised Land. That He's going to do that same work in us. He's going to do that same work across ECC and enable us to do what we need to do. For those of us that are going to be here Sunday morning and Sunday evening in some capacity, that He's going to give strength to do that. He's going to strengthen people to do that. He's going to strengthen the workers. That we're going to know energy that we've not known before. That we're going to be more buzzing on a Sunday evening having done two services than we are having done one. That God is doing the better things because as we move forward, the best is yet to come. That the encounter with God is going to be something that we've not encountered before. That the relationship with Jesus is going to be stronger because it's always about God moving things into being more like His kingdom. He's building His church. He's building His kingdom. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Yeah, Jesus, we just lay everything out before you. We lay it all out before you tonight and say, God, anything that we've got wrong, anything that isn't of you, then show us. Because we want it to be God, not just good. We want it to be you. Thank you, Jesus, that you continue to bring us this far. And I thank you, Jesus, for your glorious grace. Your glorious grace that not only saves us, but equips and enables us to do everything that we need to do. Just thank Him for His grace tonight. Thank Jesus for His grace because it's not just an amazing saving grace. It's a powering grace. It's a grace that is so glorious and enables us to do everything. Just thank Him tonight. Thank Him for His grace. Thank Him for His grace to do everything that He's asking you to do. To enable you to step into what it is He's got. To enable us as a church to step into everything that He's got for us. A fresh grace. An empowering grace. A lifting grace. A strengthening grace. Rabba sibro kuraba zatan reshibro kundo. Reshtende brekiro bobozotondo. Rabba sibre kira bebezetende rashira gastande. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Rabba kiro zotobra shiro zotondo. Rashtandabra kiruzo tondo brosira bevezetende. Vrebe kindra bashiruzo to. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. Oh God. Praise you tonight, oh God. We praise you tonight, Jesus. Just praise him. Praise Jesus tonight. Praise him tonight. Come on, he's the Savior. He's the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You know, I don't think Peter just mumbled that revelation. I reckon he said it with some force when it came out. Who do you say I am? You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. The Messiah, the Son of the living God. Make that declaration tonight. Declare it over your life. Jesus, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And I thank you that you've called me out of darkness and into glorious light to serve you, to be a co-worker with you, to be there as you build your church. Jesus, I thank you that nothing can stand against your church. Nothing can stand against that you are building. Jesus, I thank you that through the span of the Church of Jesus Christ's history, many attacks have come, many persecutions have come, but the church continues to grow because nothing can change your words. Nothing can change that declaration. Nothing can shift the gathering of Jesus' people. Jesus, we want to do it, and we want to do it only by your power and only by your strength, because everything else is wasted. Lord, we recognize that what you're asking us to do, it's all on you. It's by your might and by your power and by your strength, not by our own. Jesus, I thank you for my weaknesses. I thank you for my weaknesses, and I thank you that they're just an opportunity for you to be strong. Just thank him for your weaknesses. Because where you're weak, he's strong. That sounds good to me. So often we're funny about weaknesses, but it's actually a really good thing. Because if I'm weak, he's strong. So the more I recognize my weaknesses, the more strength of God I access. Thank him for your weaknesses. And thank him that in those places, he's strong. That his strength is brought through in such a powerful way. Jesus, I thank you that in my weaknesses, you're strong. Jesus, I thank you that you click us together in such a way that you bring in people that have different strengths. Thank you that there's strengths in this room now. There's a strength in this room that you need and that you've placed in here to take this church into its glorious future. Lord, I thank you for every gift, every anointing in this house. Thank you for every gift and every anointing that is in this place right now. And that we would be ready to tap into what it is that you've got for us. That we would be ready to take a hold of what it is and do it. Lord, get our minds and our focus off ourselves and onto you and onto those that you are hungering for, that you are passionately pursuing after. I thank you that with a passion you've pursued after us, and that you continue to pursue after those that you've not yet got. Lord, I thank you that you love us, and you care for us, and you equip us, and you strengthen us, and you care about the one, and you care about those of us that are already in the house. But Jesus, that we would have that same passion that you have for those that aren't yet found, for the lost, that we would have your passion, that we would search passionately for that which lost. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation, those of you that have got kids, or you've been in a situation where you're caring for somebody and you think you've lost your kid. Like they've gone off in a different direction, or that panic, or that passion that I've got to find them. That happened quite recently, actually. Elijah kind of went off in an opposite direction in a busy supermarket, and yeah, he kind of ran off in another way, and it was busy, and I could hear him, but but I couldn't see him. And even though I could hear him, I was gripped by this, where is he? What's going to happen to him? So I was passionately searching to find that which was lost. Doesn't mean that I didn't love Joey, but he was right next to me and he was safe. He was okay. I was passionate about the one that wasn't there. And that's how God sees our situation. It doesn't mean that he doesn't love and care for us, but he's passionate about that which is not here yet. And the sooner that we grasp that passion as well, the sooner we just start to get our minds off ourselves. It's so easy to focus on self. It's so easy to look at what we don't have or what we don't like or what we want. But as soon as we get our mind off of all that and onto God and what God wants and what God's passionately pursuing after, it all just fades away. We don't necessarily get interested about anything else. We literally live with a passion that says, I've got to see people come to Jesus. Yes, God cares for us. Yes, God loves us. Just like I love and care for Joey, but at that moment, it wasn't the first thing on my mind. Finding Elijah and getting him back and telling him not to run off was the primary role at that moment in time. And that's exactly what God's got for us. But it's not a passion that we can't do it ourselves. In ourselves, we're never going to be passionate about the lost, because in ourselves, we only think about ourselves. And it's always about self. But with God, He can stir a passion by His Spirit inside of us to fulfill destiny, to go after what He's got, to pursue the vision and the call and the purpose that He's got for us as a church. We've got amazing opportunities in these coming days to see God do amazing works. We've got amazing opportunities to see God do something which is just so different. We've got amazing opportunities. Like I said on Sunday, you know, with God, everything just gets better and better and better. And I was really encouraged about the stuff that God spoke about, how every past revival that we read about and that we see is nothing compared to what God's going to do. We read about the Wesley revival and we read about the Welsh revival, and all those great moves of God are amazing and they're inspiring, but God's got even more. In the UK, in this nation, God's got something far greater than anything that's gone before. We hear a lot about the end time harvest and all those things. You know, it's all to come. The move that God is going to do across this nation is greater than anything that we've experienced before. We're starting to see the rumblings of that. We're starting to see the shift of God in that as a nation. We're starting to see things shift and change and coming in line with prophecies, coming in line with words that great men of God in history have spoken over this nation. And as we continue to pursue after that, we're going to see it. We're going to see what God's going to do. Let's be excited about what God's doing, because it is great days ahead of us. Is it going to be challenging? Absolutely. Is it going to be difficult? Yes. Is there going to be a cost? Always. But we've got to be up for that, because we will see the fruit of that. We will see what God is doing in that. And as we do that, God is shifting and stirring something in His people and something in His church, because it's not just about us as a church here at ECC. It is about the Baptist Church. It is about St. Giles Church. It is about the church across the nation. We want to see God move across the church in this nation. We've got a bigger picture. We want to see God shift and move in such a way that He breaks open fresh things. God is at work right now. God is at work right now. Bless you guys. Bless you guys. Bless you for being here. Bless you for taking a hold of what God's got for you. Bless you for grasping a hold of where you're going to be and what God's got for you. Because I declare over each and every one of us, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. All the great things that God's done in your life, the best is yet to come. All the great things that God's done in this nation, the best is yet to come. And I can say that with 100% accuracy. Because if you are saved, I know for definite that the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. God is at work. He's at work in your life and he's at work in this church. We know where we're going. How we get in there, God will just direct and get lead and get us where we need to be. But let's enjoy it while we do it. The enemy wants to rob our joy and rob our enjoyment of doing the work of God, and that's not how it's meant to be. It's supposed to be a joy. It's supposed to be something that we enjoy doing and that we just get so passionate. It's like, I can't wait to get to church on a Sunday. I can't wait to get to a midweek on Tuesday. I can't wait to get, and that just comes out, because when we're in that place, the strength of God flows in such a way. I've said it a few times these last few months that when we get that peace, the peace of the Lord leads to a joy. The joy of the Lord leads to strength. And a strength in God enables us to persevere and do far more than we could ever do in our own strength. We can't do anything in our own strength. We need God. We've always needed God. This church has always needed God. And without him, let's shut shop and move on. But God is here, and God has got amazing things for us to do. And he's got a part for each and every one of you to play in that. If you know this is your place, then it's something to be excited about, because God is stirring something in you. Let's see what God's going to do. Bless you guys. Thank you for being out tonight. I know you've been blessed. And I know that God is stirring in his people. It takes more than just one person. But a group of people with God can do so much. So much. It's instant multiplication as soon as you put God in the equation. Instant. You plus God equals a multitude, infinite, miracle. You put the answer in there, whatever you want, but it's good. God is on the move, and he's on the move in your life, and he's on the move here. We've got amazing things ahead. Bless you guys, and we'll see you Sunday, if not before. And as we step into Sunday, we'll just see what God's going to do. And we'll let him build his church, because that's what he does best. He just gives us the privilege of doing it with him. So we are blessed in that. But have a good evening. What's left of it? Have a good rest of the week. Do be praying. Be getting stirred up. Be getting ready for what God's wanting to do in your life. And be expectant and excited about what God's doing. Amen.